Dear graduates, faculty, students, former students, friends of Emmanuel, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he who has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. Standing before you today, I'm reminded of my own graduation from the seminary. I had to count the years, 38. That year, there were only two graduates from the seminary, Missionary Koenig and myself. I remember the day quite well. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. It may yet be a day for you. It was a memorable day, and I remember that all of us who were graduating that year, high school, college, seminary students, all of us, spent a good deal of time speaking with those dedicated teachers who had helped us to grow up and unto Christ, our Savior, who helped us to prepare for our various callings in life. During the course of that special day, I overheard a woman say also something I will never forget. She said to her husband, "You know, if you had gone to college, you might have amounted to something." You can understand why I never forgot those words. The woman that expressed this thought to her husband so thoughtfully was giving words to the thinking of many in our day. And that is that education is sort of a god, small g. And that you really can't amount to much unless you go to college. There is some truth in that. But really amounting to something amounts to much more than having a college education. Going on, as they say, to higher education. Without question, higher education is a good investment. To quote Benjamin Franklin, who knew a whole lot about investing, right? An investment in knowledge always pays back the best interest. You can see where his mind was. On the other hand, Martin Luther said that the learned are often screwballs, and very often the most perverse is the most perverse scholar. You are graduates with high hopes for your futures. And those who love you want you to amount to something. But that doesn't mean that they want you to invest in knowledge that will bear interest to you only. We do not want for you a higher education that leads you to reach beyond your Savior God to the forbidden fruit of this world's wisdom, like your first parents did. May you never soar so high in your own estimation that you fall in love with yourself, your own reason, or your own self-will. We don't want you to become educated idiots, as my uncle used to refer to them. We don't want you to become screwballs. There are plenty of those in this world already. We do want you to grow. We want you to stretch yourselves. We want you to be all that you can be. But while you are amounting to something, we want you to all remember that your God has already made you really something. For beloved, now you are the children of God. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He spent His blood to redeem each one of you from the power of death, and by the washing and renewing of baptism, the Holy Spirit breathed into you a new and eternal life. And so began your life with God. That was the beginning of your hope for the future. That was your real commencement. That was the beginning of the rest of your life with your God. For you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The corruptible seed of God's life-giving Word has been planted in your hearts for this reason, that it might grow up in you. That you, by God's power and by that Word, might grow up unto Him. Through faith in Christ, understand, above all, that your life is immortal. And yet, at this point in your lives, you're only in the childhood of your immortality. That's it. You have so much more to experience, so much more to do for the Lord, your God, your Father. And so Peter encourages you to continually desire the pure milk of God's Word, that you may grow by it. And not have the idea that since you graduated from ILC, on the one hand, you have great amounts of religion in you, great spirituality. Because the secular world will say to you, now that you've departed from this religious school and you've entered into the secular university, now you'll really get smart. The Lord wants you to grow, and you have growing to do. One day, about 12 years ago, a pastor came to visit one of the families of his congregation, and as he was out in the driveway with some of the older children, the youngest of the family spotted him, and he shouted back to his parents in the house, "God is here!" Well, he was confused. "I baptized that boy. Baptism doesn't wipe away the flesh. Baptism doesn't do away with confusion. The world is full of confusion. The prince of this world sees that there's plenty of chaos out there, and the flesh loves it." And so this young boy had to grow up, nurtured by his parents through Sunday school and church, and he continues to grow here at Emmanuel. The boy discovered here at Emmanuel that God is here also in His Word, the real God. Nearly every day in classroom and chapel, you all experienced God's presence in His Word. You saw Him in the lives of your fellow Christians as they walked alongside of you in the Lord. As you leave your school where you have grown in your knowledge of your God, take Him with you in His Word. If you don't, then no matter how high your education in this world takes you, you will really amount to nothing in the eyes of the One who sees all. God has been with you at Emmanuel, so take Him with you in His Word. Don't get tangled up in the weeds of this world's riches. Seek first the kingdom rule of your God in your heart, as Jesus said, and all your needs for this life will be added to you, for your Heavenly Father knows your needs. Don't try to cover up your sins. This is perhaps the most important advice I can give you today. Because the temptation is always to cover up. And the devil and the world and the flesh make it so easy to do that. Don't cover up your sins, whether by making excuses before God or blaming others, or even by your religious service. Always run helplessly to the cross of your Jesus and His robe of righteousness for cover. And everything else will go well for you in His eyes. foul up by leaning on your own understanding or by listening to the false wisdom of this world. But acknowledge your God in your ways, in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. And when the world opposes you because it opposes the word of your Savior, remember the encouragement that Paul gave to the Corinthians who also face the world. He who is spiritual critically examines all things, and yet he himself is rightly judged or critically examined by no one. For you, we have the mind of Christ. Remember that in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. You are going out into the world that promises you all kinds of life and light and wisdom and all the great things that the flesh craves, and even our spirits in Christ, the good things. But as you go out, remember that you're going out into a world that loves the darkness in which it sits. The darkness from which it cannot extricate itself. But you are the light of the world. You have been made light through Jesus Christ. And as you go out, you will, by the very life and light that's within you, you will disturb the darkness. And the world will oppose you if you stand up and are counted for your Savior. You will be striving and competing with a proud and vain world that does not play by the same rules that you do. The temptation will be to amount to something in the eyes of the world by using the world's rule book. But you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Understand well that the children of this world would want you to die with them. That's really at the base of what motivates them as the devil works in them. They want you to die with them. Their misery loves company, and they don't understand that they sit in the darkness in the misery. You do, by the grace of God. That's why you're light to the world. Your Savior was chosen by God from eternity to be also your brother. They opposed him, they will oppose you also. But remember that your God has chosen you out of the world. If you go with him by his grace, then you will amount to something that is truly out of this world. Remember to whom also you are dedicated and to whom you belong, whose temple you are. And then as the children of God, by the grace of God, you will purify yourselves even as He, your Savior and your brother, is pure. You will serve Him in love with all that you have and are. At the opening of the next school year, we will dedicate the new academic center to the service of our Lord. Since He has given it to us, we want to dedicate it to Him with prayer, so that it truly amounts to something for the work of His kingdom. But this wonderful building given to us by God through the offerings and labors of many thousands will never be the building that you are. The Academic Center is not a spiritual building like you. What you see is what you get. There will be some landscaping out there. There will be some extras, some cosmetics added, but it'll never grow. It'll never grow like you are made to grow. There's nothing alive about any of the construction materials that went into that building. You, on the other hand, are built, as Peter says, a spiritual house of living stones. With all the rest of the Church of Christ, you are living stones, and you'll spend your whole life putting those two words together. And only the gospel can cause you to make sense of them. How you can be a stone and be alive, built up in Christ. It's a miracle. It's wonderful. The academic center cannot speak like you. We know that our new building, like all of the rest of the buildings of this campus, are a testimony to our God's goodness and His grace with His church and His school. We know that. But you are all something special because your testimony will leave this campus. You won't be here as long as one of our professors has been here. You'll be leaving. And that's a good thing, because you'll take your voice with you. And your voice will go out all over the world. And you'll carry that voice and the words of that voice of faith. And you'll carry deeds of love to people that you don't know yet. Thousands of people who will see you and hear you and watch you. Our campus buildings dedicated to our Lord cannot become anything to a world that sits in the darkness of sin and death. But you've already become something to the world. You are the salt of the earth. In addition to being the light of the world, you are among those who preserve this world until the day of judgment for the sake of the gospel that it might spread. Remember that He has made you what you are. When He redeemed you and called you by your name, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 43, He dedicated you to Himself. He made you personally, each one of you, His very own. That's why we can say to you today that you're in the childhood of your immortality. You are special. Your hope for a glorious future then lies in Christ your Redeemer. And so today we're all begging you with one voice to keep on hearing His voice, which says to you, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life." When we were small children, our parents would read to us, and sometimes the books were long, and they would say to us, when we became impatient to know how the hero ended up, "Now wait till the end of the story." But the story of our salvation encourages us throughout Holy Scripture to view with delight already the end, which is the beginning of eternity for us in heaven. We're not encouraged to wait for the end in our hearts, in our minds, but to see it, to rejoice in it. That's what keeps us going. That's why John says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." God related you to Him by faith in His Son. And He has no distant relatives. He only has children. Think about that. You can say with Paul that nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what heights or depths that you find yourselves in your futures in this world, you can say with confidence, with the psalmist, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, behold, you are there. You are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there." Whatever you may be thinking at this moment about your future, know this for sure, that your Father, in sending you off today, is not releasing you. Nor will He ever release you to go it alone. Just because He has taught you in His Word to walk in Him and with Him doesn't mean that He will not also carry you like the remnant of the house of Israel. You have been upheld by your God from birth. You have been carried by Him from the womb to this very day. And so He says to you also, even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. So fear Him and you'll have nothing else to fear, for His perfect love casts out fear. His word of love has taught you to say from your hearts, God has become my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The man I mentioned at the beginning this morning was told that he could have amounted to something if he had gone to college. He's now an old man, and he knows that while he has nearly graduated from the School of Human Experience, he is still in the childhood of his immortality. And that's a very comforting thing to him. Every year he tells his children, don't buy anything for Christmas for me, because I don't have any needs. I have everything I need. This year he added, I don't need anything. I have God in His Word. If by God's grace, at the end of your life, when you have graduated from the School of Human Experience, if you can say from your hearts, I have need of nothing because I am rich in my God, then you will have really amounted to something. The world may not know you then as a somebody. You may never be known as a somebody. Big whoop! They never knew the Savior either. And He tried very hard for them to know Him. But He, the Lord of hosts, will say to you, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and you will be lifted higher than the astronauts. You'll be taken past the distant billion stars. You're graduating children of God. It does not yet appear what you shall be. But you do have glorious futures ahead of you, all of you. And when your Lord Christ is revealed, you will see Him as He is, and you will look upon the face of your God and Savior, and you will live, not die. You will live in His glorious presence forever. So take God with you in His Word. And when you have graduated from the School of Human Experience, you also will really amount to something. Your ascended Lord Jesus will have you on His right hand, and He will honor you before the world and all His holy angels. Amen.